falls in slow. Tuesday night, the rock and roll is all the rewind. Back in school, they pick on him. Nobody would let him in, but he just sit back with a grin, waiting for his day. They say he rolled every day, seven times on Saturday. Long hours he would stay, rolling rocks all night. One night he looked down the alley, caught a glimpse of a sweet young Sally, sipping past with Crazy Harry. He always on his way. On that night he would claim the glory of a perfect game. Said he bowled 192, darling, is that it for you? A heart rejection at 42, but it would be his last. He always feeling pretty low, decided to give it a one more go. How he scored, he didn't know. Just another day. But Leo was soon to claim the glory of a perfect game. Grabbed the card and took his lane. The air just didn't taste the same. A feeling was running through his veins. The feeling of a perfect game. The first ball rolled pretty well down the lane. Those pins all fell. Marked the score and moved along. Five frames down, five to go. So far, a perfect show. And this ball moves just the same. One more strike is all you need. Roll it right, you'll succeed. You watch that ball roll down the lane.
Yeah. have around children, and I will tell you the tale of dear Leo. Oh, yes. Well, you see, Leo's evening of glory was indeed all the greatest fantasy your darling young minds can imagine. Our dear friend Leo, well, let me say, that was a very special night for Leo. Perhaps it is a bit sad to think that bowling a perfect game was his greatest achievement in life. But then again, it was just his 15 minutes of fame, and everybody gets 15 minutes of fame. But he did relish in that joy. Oh, did he, celebrating with friends and lovers, acquaintances and relatives. Oh, all came together for that momentous occasion. Though he resides in relative obscurity these days in a small town just north of here, he carries with him all the joy of that night. Everyone has a little Leo in their hearts, if you know what I mean.
Hey everybody, welcome to Demo Mirror. This is Matt. I am here with Mike Champ and Jim Brennan, and we just heard a song by them, but we're not sure what the name is. I think it was...
If I could just jump in.
Yeah, Jim, jump in. And
I prefer the name Leo Was Born to Bowl. I know there's controversy between Mike and I, or not to say controversy, but...
Born to Bowl, parentheses, Leo Was...
Okay.
End parentheses.
Okay.
It's my opinion.
To each his own.
All right, so either one of those will work.
Yes.
Okay. What's the deal with the song? How did you come up with it? Maybe like a little background on it.
Started out with a guitar riff that Jim came up with that just sounded kind of cool, and I think you had recorded it before, right?
Yeah, actually, I think I tried to record it with another friend, just like a demo, just kind of goofing around. We used like random sound effects or like percussion, like some spoons and things like that, and just a riff that I had was goofing around with like in college my freshman year, and then like I came back and over one of the breaks and showed it to Mike, and he kind of liked it, and I guess we decided at some point we wanted to record it or try and make a song out of it.
Yeah, so I actually never heard the original recording, but I thought it was cool when we were just kind of jamming together one time and just kind of like farting around with sounds. I think we just decided that we'd record it with drums. And another friend of ours, Matt Kirk, was around, and he played bass. And he plays a lot of other instruments too. So he really wanted to help out and sort of just have fun and record a song. And it just started out with us recording that part, I think.
Basically, I don't know how to break it down, but like an intro sort of part with the over the riff. And then I had some kind of chords I was strumming that I liked to follow up, and Matt kind of, I want to say it was Matt, came up with this kind of jam based around a couple of chords that, and then we just kind of grooved on that for a while, and that was our bass recording. That's where it started, was just the three of us playing together, and we recorded that in the summer, and basically didn't finish it for almost over a year or two, a year and a half, and just went back to it and added to it over the course of those, like...
So it was like a long, long process. Is it the first part of the song we're talking about that was like the initial idea, and then the rest was like added after? Is that what we're saying?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Up through like the guitar solo.
So the guitar solo. There's like three main sections, if I remember right. Maybe like there's like this part we're talking about, then there's like the jammy solo in the middle, and then at the end there's like the wind down,
you
know, story time
type deal.
And those last two parts were added after, like a year later is what you're saying.
I actually think we might have actually recorded the first two parts. It's hard because I can't really remember because it was so long ago, but I think we recorded the first two parts at the same time and then decided afterwards, why not add that last part?
So how long ago are we talking then? Are we, like, a couple years ago or 3 or 4 years ago?
We started, it would be, to put an exact date on it, it was the summer of 2004. I'm pretty sure that's when we started it.
Okay. And you guys were in school together? Was that the deal? Or?
We went to high school together.
Right.
And he was still a senior. Or he had just graduated, I think, from high school when we started recording it, and I had finished my freshman year of college. That's when we started the first recording. And probably spent a good 18 months tying all the loose ends together and then going back and putting the solo on top of the bass track we'd started. And then even 6 months later, putting the end together. And even coming up with the theme behind the lyrics, that was a whole different part of it too. We knew we wanted to finish it but didn't know where to go, so we'd take like a break and then come back to it. And
right, because it's a pretty like involved lyrical journey that you take us on pretty much. So tell us about what it is, and then I'm sort of interested in like how it came about. Did you come up with the lyrical stuff completely after the music was done, pretty much?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then so then say what it's about. Give us a synopsis.
Well, it's about a guy named Leo, who his life has sort of hit a dead end, and he probably lives in the same place as he lived for a long time. He's in his like mid-30s. Like, it's kinda like he's in what should be the prime of his life, but it's not the prime of anything really. And the one cool thing he did or that happened to him was that he bowled a perfect game, and that was just sort of the peak of his life. So it's kind of just a song about being like an ordinary run-of-the-mill person and having your little 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah.
And just sort of enjoying it.
Did you guys collaborate on that idea as well? Pretty much complete collaboration from top to bottom, the song was sort of...
A lot of it, yeah. I can remember just sitting in your studio after maybe recording and just kind of hanging out, and he'd got this poster from a bowling alley called Friendly Bowl in a neighboring town where he grew up, and it just had this picture of a guy bowling, and there were two ladies around him who were cheering, and I don't know who even started the idea, but like it was, let's make a story out of this, like it's just this snapshot. And so it was this guy was bowling a perfect game, and it was like the highlight of his life. It was just a one-shot deal. And we came up with the name Leo because the guy was supposed to be kind of pathetic, I guess. Not really so much. Do you remember where the name Leo came from?
Oh, I don't want to say now.
not really pathetic character, but...
Brave, fearless.
Yeah. Almost a little, like, just like a kind of goofy, I don't know how to describe it, but it was, we took the, I mean, I want to say that I thought the name was funny, so yeah. I'm not saying a poor reflection upon anybody, but
yeah.
it came from a friend's dad, it was his name, and right. So we kind of took that name, Leo.
Okay.
And, because both of our interaction with him was very kind of comical, and he kind of is into music as well via his son, so.
Right. And he might have bowled a perfect game at some point in his life. And would have probably enjoyed it a lot, I'm sure.
I'm thinking of the song. It just comes off as like a real sort of big, sort of, dare I say, epic.
It's definitely epic.
Epic story of a normal guy. Did when you guys sat down and were thinking about that end of it, like the lyrics and the themes there, did you say it has to be... It has to be some sort of big journey because this is a big journey of a song, or no?
I don't think so, because we did it so like piecemeal, like a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
That it just before we knew it, we kind of had an epic song on our hands. there was nothing we could do about it, so we just kind of embraced it at one point.
It might have been just laziness of us not moving on to like something new, so we would always just go back to the same thing we had, and we're like, all right, well, let's work on this, and then it just kind of took on a life of its own, and all of a sudden we realized we had gone maybe like it's a, we if it was anything else it'd probably be too much, but since it's sort of like a goofy hokey theme. It works because it's like really tongue in cheek, I think. So it's sort of like a what my mom would call a happy accident sort of thing.
Okay. What are you guys, where were you guys coming from, like, talking about maybe for the music? Were you inspired directly by anything? Or the lyrics, too? Were there other, like, maybe a specific artist that you're like, oh, this riff sort of sounds like this, I want to go with it? Or was there anything like that going on with this song?
More like other things that are non-musical. Really? Like, there's just, like, like that movie, The Big Lebowski, I remember I was really into that at the time, so I just really wanted to write something that was about somebody who was like that.
Yeah, and it makes me think of that, like that or like a Kingpin type of, those two movies come to mind,
But I wasn't really thinking of any particular artist or songwriter. I know that some of the other people that played on the recording probably were. I know that Matt has his favorite guitarist and stuff, and I'm sure that he was probably maybe this guitarist or that guitarist when he was playing, but I don't know, what was going through your head?
I can't really say I was, you know, shooting to try and sound like another or write like another song like somebody else, you know, someone that inspires me. But I think what I really liked about this song was, you know, I took the idea and played it for Mike and was kind of nervous, like, what is he going to think? And he thought it was cool and we should make a song out of it. And then bringing him and Matt Kirk into the picture, and it just kind of put this whole new spin on it. And so, like, where I had hit a wall, like, all right, I've got this part and this part, but I don't know where to go from here. They just kind of, like, took it and were like, all right, how about this? And it worked. And I can remember there were a couple of times along during the whole process of the song, I kind of was like, this is so different from what I imagined it might be. And then the story about Leo and then, you know, the ending with, like, the story and, like, the narrative portion of it. Nothing like I had pictured or imagined it would.
Right, you'd never really done anything like that before. Yeah. So the sound effects and like there's the bowling, that sort of deal. That Mike was telling me before that was all like synthetic, as they like you didn't go to a bowling alley and record bowling. You had to make the sound. So how did you make those sounds? And were there any other instances of that in the song, or was it just the pins and stuff?
There were a couple additional sound effects in there, but I don't know how we kind of decided we wanted to make the sound effects ourselves. I mean, I guess we could have like gone into the bowling alley and recorded it, but it was almost more fun. Right? Because Mike has an exceptional studio at home, and it's a barn, so. We just looked around for for objects that we could make these bowling sound effects with. I remember the bowling ball is essentially a glass candle that we were rolling along the wooden floor in the second level of the studio, where the studio is, and just recording that audio of it, this glass ball or bowl rolling on the wooden floor. Mm-hmm. And for the pins, we had both styrofoam like pegs, or I don't know what they were, and those actually gave off a like loud crashing sound when we threw them on the ground. And we also used wooden, I don't know what they were, dowels or something, to also get like a woody sound of the pins, but we just used a lot of different, whatever we could find, basically.
There were also cell phones, because we wanted to have the arcade in, because there's arcades. So we just, we both had cell phones at that point. So we just like went through our phones and found every single ringtone just like put it on repeat and held it up to the mic.
Okay.
And
that's cool. It's all cool stuff.
It's a fair amount of banter, which is essentially just Mike and I.
It's basically you. Because your voice was so boomy that it's like all the mic picked up. So it's basically just Jim talking to himself on a couch. Like with me forcing him to be there at like 3 a.m. Like, we need to finish this.
When you were wrapping it up, was it like since it took you so long, like when it came time to actually like wrap it up like that, was it, you're saying like 3 a.m. did you like finish it? You were like, we have to finish this today, this is bullshit, we've been working on it for 2 years.
That happened so many times.
Really?
And I stayed up all night like a bunch of times, and I was like, and then I got up the next morning and I played it like after sleeping for a while, and I was like, this sucks. I got up and do it again. It's so shitty.
Yeah, unfortunately, I never didn't really get to see that aspect of it. I was not familiar with this, nearly as familiar with the software we used to record as Mike was. So I would leave at 1, 2, whenever in the morning, and he would stay up and basically mix it down, take those sound effects and splice in the sound of our ball rolling, and then edit in the pins crashing, and even fading from one speaker from the left channel to the right channel to get this kind of three-dimensional sound of a bowling alley, which I can only imagine took hours.
Yeah, it was fun though, because I got to like screw around with like rolling from the left channel to the right channel, and then if I did that, I'd have to make the pins explode on the right channel because it wouldn't make any sense.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was listening to it, and I just realized that you actually really do visualize what you hear.
Mm-hmm. So you guys sort of write separately as well, right? Not with this specific song, but just like generally, like you guys both write songs on your own?
Yeah, I only write a song once in a while. Uh-huh. I think you probably write more than I do.
Yeah, I wrote more around the time we were recording this, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I've written songs from time to time, but this was a kind of cool collaborative effort. I remember with the lyrics, it was actually a lot of Mike's ideas were in the lyrics, but we kind of had this, you know, Leo was born to bowl, and then I think I said shiny shoes and a golden soul, and that's what we had. That was our base. That was our starting point. And I think we, like, assigned each other homework, like, all right, you, like, we'll leave. We're going home today. We're done recording, and you go and write lyrics, and I'll write lyrics, and we'll come back tomorrow or the next time we meet and just share them and we'll see what we have. And I think that's where the concept is like the perfect game, or maybe that was earlier
yeah,
that came
true.
Up with that. But I think a lot of what Mike came up with was the now finished lyrics of Leo is Born to Bowl.
Cool. So it sounds like you guys really sort of enjoyed the collaboration end of it. Do you sort of prefer that than maybe even writing on your own?
I do. I think it's much more fun that way. Yeah, I think I probably do a much better job that way. I don't really trust myself to just go.
Right.
I'm always afraid I'm just going to go off in the deep end and write some really like dark, you know, deep song about my feelings, and then I won't realize how much it sucks. And
but so. We clearly didn't go off the deep end. We both kept each other in check.
Yeah, this is like Diet Coke, caffeine free.
I think we touched on the few things that I wanted to touch on. Did you guys have anything else to say about this song?
You can hear Jim's
exactly
deceased cat barking.
Really? Yes.
Yeah.
The dog. What's the dog's name?
Morgan. She was my yellow lab. And yes, you can hear her barking during the celebration portion, which is essentially after the final strike is been bowled. It just goes into the celebration and people start chanting Leo. And another cool thing about that was basically we got a ton of our friends just to chant Leo, Leo, and get these like bottle clinking sound effects, like a grand old celebration. And I can't remember how many people we had just like chant Leo for us, but
yeah, we didn't even tell them what they were doing it for. Yeah. Sometimes we just like, say Leo now. Turn it on, which is kind of funny.
The collage of voices, the celebration.
There's a lot of little things, so I don't know. It's cool. That's all I have to say about that.
Okay, cool. Thanks for sharing with us.
Thanks for being here.
Yes,
thanks for having me here.
Yeah, you're always welcome in our home.
Thank you. Okay, see everybody later. Bye.